Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. I'm the aforementioned Joe McGranahan. Mark Lawrence is across from me, strikingly handsome, superlative.
Now I feel ugly today. I'm Mark Lawrence and I'm ugly today.
You're not feeling good? Why? What's wrong, Mark?
Nothing. No, I'm just not myself today. Things in Marktopia are not going well.
That is a funny thing to say. You're not yourself, Mark.
I'm not myself.
If you think you're me, you're not
yourself.
No,
you introduced me as you.
All right. Well, Joe McGranahan is here. That's the voice you just heard. I am Mark Lawrence.
Are you sure? I'm not so certain. You don't look like him. He was strikingly handsome. You look more like you've been struck.
I'm a little puffed up today. I didn't get enough sleep on Tuesday night, and I am a sleep monger. If I don't get the right number, it throws off everything.
Well, you do look a tad puffy now that you mention it.
Thank you. All right. Well, I have an extensive nap in my future.
So we have some Midol over in the restroom.
Oh, you think that'll help? All right. Yeah. What have I been? Oh, I've been popping a leave. I don't know if that'll help or not.
Well, that would probably do some good.
Good. All right. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Let me tell you about this wonderful place we call the Sunbury Motor Company. You can buy brand new Fords, Hyundai, Kia, or Lincolns. The Lincolns, you can buy a big Navigator, an MKZ, or the Navigator pickup truck. Joe doesn't want the Navigator pickup truck, but he does want the Navigator SUV. But you can buy a good old-fashioned Continental, still just a superlative vehicle. They got the new Aviator that you see Matthew McConaughey driving through the smoke, and they got fabulous vehicles there. Just talk to Jason and tell him Mark Lawrence sent you. They got the Kia dealership on Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, where they got the new Telluride, which is top-rated in Consumer Reports. You know, it's funny. If you say, I absolutely need the top-rated vehicle that's available in its class, guess what? Lincoln Navigator, Kia Telluride, Hyundai Sonata, and the Ford F-150, top of the game, plus numerous other species of the Fords, Hyundais, and Kias and Lincolns are top-rated in Consumer Reports as well. They're not allowed to tell you that in their commercial messages, or CU tells you not to, but I can because I'm ad-libbing. And
species? I think you mean models, don't
right,
you?
Absolutely.
No one says, I'd like to see a species of the...
Well,
between that and accoutrements, nobody knows what you're talking about.
We're talking about the Sunbury Motor Company.
Now, that I understand.
There. So go one of the two locations. You'll be a happy customer. You'll be a happy camper if you take an F-150 out into the woods with a tent and everything. And right. And then take a gun and shoot something. Or do like I do. Take a bow and arrow and don't shoot anything. But definitely go to the Sunbury Motor Company, sunburymotors.com. On the Mark, sponsor of the Sunbury Motor Company, our toll-free line is open. Call us now if you'd like to talk about the impeachment. We have talked quite a bit about that, but I think everything that can be said about it has been said, but maybe you have something additional to say.
Well, no, next week the hearings start, right?
Right, then so we'll have more to say.
More. Yeah.
Right, it'll keep evolving. Our toll-free line is open for this purpose, 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com and text us at 70236.
Well, you mentioned impeachment. Have you changed your mind about where we're going to start this morning?
No, I think we said Melania.
Melania Trump,
right.
Yes. This is a very interesting story. The headline is, protesters slam Melania Trump's visit to a Boston hospital with cuddling program for babies born on drugs.
So she went up there sort of a feel-good visit kind
right.
of thing.
Right. But she visited a Boston hospital on Wednesday to meet with caregivers and administrators of a pioneering program that uses cuddling to help infants who are born dependent on drugs or alcohol. Outside the Boston Medical Center in the city's South End, as many as 200 workers protested the visit, saying the First Lady represented an administration who they say has discouraged immigrants from seeking health care with tough immigration policies. Some carried signs that read, BMC cares for all patients, and we believe that healthy women equals healthy families equals healthy society. Families need to be together. That's the best way to support children's development, is for them to be with their families. Carmen Rosa Norona, a psychotherapist working with young children affected by trauma, told the Associated Press. That being the children having the possibility to grow up with their families is a human right, in that the politics or policies of separating families are a violation of those rights. And this is not a person that we want to come to our home, our hospital, added Cecilia Gard, a 26-year-old employee who works as a nurse midwife. Inside the hospital, Mrs. Trump, who was accompanied by Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar, told the hospital staff she was very focused on their work with babies born with neonatal abstinence syndrome and the withdrawal condition newborns experience after being chronically exposed to opioids during the mother's pregnancy. The hospital also works with expectant mothers who misuse drugs or alcohol. So what a shame. Here she is trying to do something good, and these folks are standing outside protesting because of an immigration policy she had nothing to do with.
Free speech is not attractive to Joe, but I think for most people they see her as part and parcel of the Trump administration. So she's complicit in this. Everybody has free speech rights, not just you, so I think it's perfectly normal that this is going to happen. I think it's more indicative than anything else of our division that we're enjoying now. As the impeachment gains momentum, people are just digging in farther on their own side. They're not listening to each other's side. But
they're taking away from the good work that Mrs. Trump is doing. I mean, and she is doing some good work. She doesn't get any coverage.
No, I don't think it's taken away from
it.
Oh, it
is. I mean, it's making a mockery of it, actually, I think.
Brother, in what way?
Well, the fact that she's there to support,
mockery.
She's there to help the children.
Right.
And they're outside saying that her husband is separating children from their families. Well, you know, the Obama administration did that, too, and the court ordered judge.
What about the Obama? The judge
ordered the Trump administration not to separate children from their families. So isn't that a done deal now? We're not doing it? Or are we still doing it in violation of the federal order? And if so, why isn't anybody complaining?
We are still doing it. Lots of people are complaining, including some people at a Boston hospital yesterday, and any place their voice can be heard. But see, it doesn't surprise me because she's part of the administration. I think if Kellyanne Conway went on a visit somewhere, or Mike Pompeo went someplace for a visit.
So we've come so far down the rabbit hole that we can't acknowledge when somebody does good work unless they're absolutely perfect in our eyes.
Well, I guess you
can't
acknowledge
it. They have to be absolutely faultless in the way we think and the way we believe before we could say, hey, that's a nice thing you're doing.
But I think you can't acknowledge it in passing, but I think the important thing
is... Well, that's just brushing it off. Acknowledge it in passing.
Well, I think the great good that she's doing is greatly outweighed by the tremendous harm her husband is perpetrating, and she's married to him. She puts up with him. She's complicit.
So would you like people to assault your wife at the drugstore for something you said on the program? You think that's fair?
You mean like it actually does happen? Yes. It happens. Yes. How can
and
Mark...
You find that acceptable, do you? You're glad for that?
How can Mark find that pro-choice laws are acceptable in the U.S. as though I wrote them?
Well, you had a hand
no.
I don't think
it's ideal, but honestly, I think if you're going to be part of the administration, you're going to stay part. You know, still do outreach. It's not. She isn't just his wife when she's there. She's representing the administration.
So if she goes to a school, they complain about Betsy DeVos. If she goes to a medical facility, they complain about children being separated. She's there to support the children who are born to drug addicts and to people who have alcohol problems, and these children need help. And she's highlighting that. And they're there on an entirely different matter.
Well, I think people in elected office have always wanted to focus the public's attention on whatever they want them to do. You know, the thief would do a diversion tactic, you know, or a magician would do a diversion tactic so you don't see what they're really doing.
All magic is a diversion.
Right. Okay. Well, that's fine. And so they send Melania up to Boston to divert our attention from the tremendous ill that her husband is doing.
Well, let me put it
and
this way.
I don't think other people are going to overlook it.
If she hadn't been protested against, would there have been any story that she went there to support those children? Absolutely not. The media wouldn't touch it.
Oh, there would be in Boston. She gets coverage everywhere she goes.
The media wouldn't. The mainstream media would just ignore it.
She's beloved, and I think most people, you know, if there were 200 protesters there, there's probably 600 people there that think she's a wonderful She's the cat's
meow. There's nothing about that in the story.
Well, a lot of people think she's a fabulous first lady, so I think those individuals would be very much interested in the coverage. Let's hope the Boston Globe had something about her, the good aspect of her visits. Even your story talks about the protest, but also mentions how beneficial this program is for the babies.
Right. The program is beneficial. There's no arguing about that. Neonatal abstinence syndrome is one of the most heartbreaking parts of the opioid crisis, one of the doctors said.
All right, 1-800-795-9565. Call us if you think it's good that protesters were there to tell Melania Trump that her husband has jumped the shark many, 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 many times over. Call us now if you think it's terrible that protesters would show up at such a beneficial event. 1-800-795.
Or if you don't care at all about this topic, call and change it.
Okay, yeah, tell us about something else. 1-800-795-9565. We'll take our first break of this particular segment. We love to light them up with folks that say, yes, folks have free speech. If they're upset as humanly possible about the Trump administration and they want to protest, they can do so. I'll guarantee you there were some counter-protesters there saying the Trump administration is super.
You know what they should do? They should go to Barron's school and protest out in front of there. Because, say, he's a child of the president. I mean, that's awful that he's a child of the president. Let's go protest him at school.
So he is at the school to advocate Trump administration policies?
No, but he's there.
Well, Melania went there to advocate for something that's part of the Trump administration.
No, she went there to support a program that's being tried to see if it's working. Will it work.
Is it not in any way federally connected?
Well, it may be have some federal connection. It may get some federal funding. I don't know. The story doesn't make that clear. But she was there to support the children, not to support her husband, or not to, you know, start making a speech about impeachment. She was there to help the kids. And that deserves our respect and our appreciation.
1-800-795-9565. Call us now if you think Melania's protesters are out of line. Call us 1-800-795-9565 if you think it's perfectly appropriate that it's like whack-a-mole. Any member of the administration that pops their head up is going to get an earful from folks that say Donald Trump is hurting the country. Call us now, 1-800-795-9565 is the telephone number. You can email your opinion to onthemark@wdkok.com.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Dirty deeds done dirt cheap on the mark. That's us. Thank you so much, AC/DC, fabulous producer, Mr. Rob Center, selecting the song, so we appreciate that. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number.
Either somebody's burning a bagel or the building's on fire.
You were next to the lunchroom. I'd vote on the bagel side of things, but who knows?
I hope they put it out before it catches fire to the rest of the building.
It smells good. All right. So where were we? Oh, we were talking about Melania getting protested at a hospital. Well, that seems perfectly appropriate. It's kind of unfortunate we are so divided, but we do know that people that are part of the administration are going to be complained about.
And one of our texters says, nothing on CBS News this morning about the report concerning the attorney for the supposed whistleblower. That said, back in 2017, how about the coup started and the impeachment was not far behind, that CNN would be supportive. Thought this may be news to be reported if true. And I have, that's ironically, I have that story right here in front of me.
Oh, and it's not being reported by CBS, eh?
From President Trump's rally last night. President Trump at a campaign. You all right over there?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I dropped my phone.
President Trump at a campaign rally in Louisiana last night unloaded on whistleblower attorney Mark Zaid after a Fox News article earlier in the day revealed that Zaid had tweeted about the beginning of a coup against the president back in 2017. The president extensively quoted from the article, which reported that Zaid had long called for Trump's impeachment, even promising 2 years ago, "We will get rid of him." Zaid now represents the intelligence community whistleblower who is at the center of the Democrats' impeachment inquiry against the president. The whistleblower has alleged that earlier this year, Trump improperly threatened to withhold aid to the Ukraine for political reasons. Democrats need to be accountable for their hoaxes and their crimes, Trump said, holding a printout of the Fox News piece. "I don't know if you saw, I'm just coming off the plane and they hand me, look at this character. They just hand me this story. Coup has started," whistleblower attorney said in 2017. Trump added, "That was a long time ago. It's all a hoax. They said January 2017, a coup has started, and the impeachment will follow immediately. It's all a hoax, a scam. And you know who's helping them? These people back here, the media." Hoax, scam.
Okay. Well, it has not been reported by CBS. They do not have.
But don't you find that troubling, that the guy, the whistleblower's attorney, who said 2 years ago that we're going to start an impeachment against the president, we're going to get rid of him? You know, doesn't it at least make you question whether or not his motives were pure in starting this thing out?
Well, I don't think.
Makes me want to hear from the whistleblower to find out if he was coached or encouraged or coerced.
Well, let's start at the beginning. Does the whistleblower's motive matter? If the president does something that is a high crime or misdemeanor, and I'm not saying he has, but if he has done something that is impeachable, does the motive of the whistleblower matter?
It may well.
Okay.
I'm not saying it's
because otherwise
sure.
It would just go unnoticed. The president's illegality would go unnoticed.
Well,
right?
I mean, let's put it this way. There are some people who heard that conversation who say there was a quid pro quo and it was wrong. Other people heard it and didn't think there was a problem.
Well, that's why we're going to have a trial, and
so,
that's
right.
Why we have the screening of the Senate before
so,
anything happens.
If the whistleblower, let's say there were 20 people on the call, 10 of them thought it was bad, 10 of them thought it was okay. And the whistleblower starts all this stuff in motion instead of just, you know, saying, okay, well, maybe I'm wrong. I'm going to talk to the other 10 and see if they can convince me.
But a whistleblower is just a complaint. It's not necessarily actionable. It goes through a screening and a vetting and an examination and then an investigation and now a full-blown impeachment inquiry. All of this is the vetting that you're seeking to find out if it's real or not.
Well, I'm only questioning, just like I questioned the Steele dossier when that started. It was funded by the Democrats. So what was the incentive here for this guy to come forward? If he honestly believed that something was wrong and he needed to do something about it, fine. Then that's exactly what the whistleblower law was intended to protect. On the other hand, if he is someone who has ties to the Democrats, he went to an attorney that he knows threatened to get the president or wanted to get him, and that guy says, you ought to come forward. You ought to blow the whistle. We're going to get started here. We're going to get rid of this guy.
Get the coup going. We have a coup underway. Now we need a front man.
Right.
1-800.
An anonymous front man.
1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. You can email us at onthemarket@kok.com. You can text us at 70236. We are enjoying an open day. We can talk about absolutely anything you want. We talked about the impeachment, first of all, and Melania Trump being appropriately protested in Boston, but we can talk about...
Inappropriately.
I'm sorry. Did I misstate that? Okay.
Yes, you did.
Okay. 1-800-795-9565. Busy Buzz is on the line. Good morning, sir. You're on the mark.
Hi, guys. I was just on my way up to Lewisburg, and it's 47 degrees and sprinkling up on the hill here.
All right. Thank you. Good to know.
I was reading the item this morning, and there's a really excellent article on the editorial page. I'm not sure it's much of an editorial. It's just a good article about the coal industry and how Trump let and the other West Virginia politicians let the coal miners down. And I was thinking when I was back in the campaign, when I saw this, I thought, man, these guys are just not paying attention. And certainly now it's come back to bite them because coal's in big trouble. And I'm thinking, you know, a really good politician with some foresight, and I don't know that there were any at that point, would have looked at this when they were running and say, look, coal is dead. You need coal as much as you need buggy whips. You're always going to need buggy whips. You're always going to need coal, but you're not going to need it in the volumes that we're producing now. Let's take this let's make a government program to retrain coal miners. Let's get them an education and teach them to do something else. Make it available for them to adjust to the changing world and the economy. And absolutely nobody did that, and now there they are, unemployed, unemployable, and, you know, waving their Trump flags until, you know, they turn into dust. What an opportunity they missed there by not being realistic.
Did you happen to hear Representative Mosser on yesterday's program?
No, yesterday I don't think I got up till about 10 o'clock.
He was talking about coal as another source for rare earth minerals. Isn't that what he called it? That there is the potential for
and
coal
metals.
And metals for coal to be used for other purposes. That might be very...
I'm sorry?
Well, that might be very, you know, very beneficial to society without causing any pollution.
Well, that would certainly be interesting, and I noticed that the slag piles over at Shamokin are getting smaller on the rare occasion that I go over that way, and I'm wondering if they find a good use for that. I remember years ago where a friend of mine that ran a brick plant went over and looked into those. It's not the refuse from the coal. It's what's left over after they extract the coal. He was looking at that as possible, using it in brick construction for developing different colors and textures and stuff. I don't know whatever came of that. But the point of my call was, what an opportunity everyone's been missing, including the Democrats right now, to go down and say, look, these coal miners, this is what we want to do for you. Coal is dead. Why won't anybody just face that? They're just waving the flag in front of those poor folks and trying to convince them that there's hope for the industry, and there isn't. You know, it's time to move on and make adjustments. That's all.
Okay. Thank you, Buzz.
Thank
you so
much.
Appreciate your call. Take care.
Bye-bye.
1-800-795-9565. Speedy dialers only.
We have a text here that goes back to our other topic.
Okay.
Says, the motive of the left matters. These people have been talking about impeaching Trump before he even got the nomination. This supposed whistleblower was working with the lead liar in the House, Adam Shifty Schiff.
Adam Schiff is a wonderful patriot and a super leader in the U.S. Congress. We're lucky to have him.
Have you had this fever for a very long
shift
time?
Shift derangement syndrome. It's SDS.
SDS, yes.
Right.
You've got it.
So
SSS. Shift support.
No,
support.
Shifty shift derangement syndrome.
Shift. I can't say that three times fast. Shift support syndrome.
All right. Well, you know, let's suppose you call it a coup back in the day. So what? It's, you know, so what? Like when President...
Don't you care if this was done fairly, if this was really a genuine concern, or if it was just a political ploy? And if the president did something wrong, I'm not going to say he shouldn't be punished. He should be. Nobody's above the law. Nobody is above the Constitution, in
right.
my opinion.
Yeah, if he did do something wrong, he'll certainly never do it again. It kind of leads to a big... blow up.
Well, I mean, you know, it really depends on, I guess, the advice he gets from people and whether or not he heeds it. I mean, the word is
Rudy
that he
Giuliani.
Doesn't really heed. Well, I mean, everybody loved Rudy Giuliani in 2001.
2001.
Yeah.
That was different, though.
He was America's mayor. Now he's some sort of a cardboard cutout joke, apparently.
His client was America at the time, but now his client... Well,
his client was New York City. He was the mayor.
Well, I know, but he was really New York City became... America at that time in terms of everybody pulling for it.
But I think that if you start this investigation, if you plunge the American people into this abyss that we're into now again, you better have had clean hands. And it better have been a serious concern of yours that this was something illegal, immoral, or perhaps even fattening.
What if he's just, when this whistleblower's attorney, what's his last name, Gavin or something?
Zaid. Z-A-I-D.
What if he's just bloviating, you know, he's just talking about a coup, not a real one, not a conspiracy to wait until the president did something impeachable and then...
We will get rid of him.
This whistleblower.
What is that? Is that just bloviating? We will get rid of him.
I don't know. Was it Mitch McConnell who said at the beginning of
the coup has started
of the Obama administration that our sole intent now is to thwart President Obama?
I'm sorry. I think that was wrong. I think the Republicans started a lot of this stuff, and now the chickens are coming home to roost.
All right. Well, that's...
But two wrongs, as you often yell at me, don't make a right.
Well, good point. Good point. As you... I'm surprised you even hear me say it.
Once in a while, something you say actually does get through to me.
All right. We got some new texts. Let's get the text machine warming up here. There you go.
Said Mark Schiff is a liar. He's claimed for over 2 years that he's got irrefutable proof that Trump colluded with Russia, and yet we still haven't seen it because it doesn't exist. Schiff's a liar, and Epstein didn't kill himself.
Oh, okay. Well, I agree. Excellent point.
That was what we talked about yesterday,
right?
That ABC reporter who said she had the goods on Clinton and they won't report it from the network.
Right, and that it's not being covered widely because there's so many liberals involved, and the liberals own the news media, so they won't cover it.
You finally got that right. Something I've said got through to you.
Well, it's an accusation. I hear the accusation.
You just stated it as a fact, which I think it is.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm just trying to point out one view of this, that, you know, Epstein was homicided so that
it's like I said yesterday morning
forward.
To me, everything I needed to know about MSNBC was yesterday morning when CNN was very fair and they reported that the governor in Kentucky, the Republican candidate, the incumbent governor, lost that race because his popularity was so low. Only a 40% approval rating, while Trump's approval rating there is 53%.
Okay.
Morning Joe didn't even mention that. They just said, oh, it's a repudiation of the president. Absolute repudiation.
Well, the president was repudiated all over the U.S. on Tuesday, so... Yeah, CBS News not reporting on the coup remark either.
I'm sure it won't be on the news coming up now.
I guess their colors are showing, too. You are listening to Full Colors here, red, white, and blue, on WDKOK's On the Mark program. Join the fray. This is WDKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board WDKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Mr. Joe's across from me. Mr. Rubbs on the other side of the glass. Mr. Matt is in the building. Traffic-wise, we're doing fine around here everywhere with no big hold-ups in our traffic situation. Even Harrisburg's flowing smoothly, so we don't have any dilemmas. We're looking around the radar screen, and we just don't see anybody gummed up anywhere. So looking pretty fabulous. Weather-wise, we are enjoying some on-and-off light showers, and that's going to be our fate today. So just some on and off light rain occasionally today. Areas to our south are getting a little bit more precipitation, but most of us just under a cloudy sky. We did have some fog earlier today. On the Mark, sponsor of the Sunbury Motor Company. You can check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is 110% wide open right now, so call us now. We talked about Melania Trump being protested at Boston. I thought that was perfectly appropriate. Joe says it's inappropriate. We also talked about the impeachment. It began, 2 years ago as one particular attorney calling for a coup. Now he's the attorney for the whistleblower. So was it a big conspiracy just waiting for the president to commit a felony and then they stepped forward and decided to get him? Or was it, as Joe would suppose, maybe a little lapse in judgment, not appropriate, but not definitely not impeachable? What's your view on this? 1-800-795-9565 is the telephone number. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. An extensive search is underway right now for a Point Township man missing since Monday in the Danville area. And Mahoning Township Police Chief Fred Dyroff tells us the missing man is 38-year-old Trevor Weber. Dyroff says Weber has a history of mental health concerns and addiction, and he has on several occasions said he would harm himself. No harm to the public is known. Dyroff said extensive land and air searches are resuming today. It's believed Weber was last seen in the areas of Hess Fields in Danville. A Sunbury attorney is now seeking action from state officials after former Woodmode employees received a letter from Geisinger saying that the former owners of Woodmode stopped paying their health insurance premiums a month before the plant shut down. As a result, individuals who had
any health treatments after April 8th have to pay out of pocket. It wasn't covered by the ceased Wood Mode insurance plan. That means claims have to be made, and Sunbury attorney Joel Wiest says that's in fact criminal. He's reached out to state and local representatives to affect that. We have a call into the state attorney general's office to find out about this investigation. Following Tuesday's general election, there will definitely be at least one new Union County Commissioner. Stacey Richards says filling Great Stream Commons will be a priority.
We finally have at least a private sector sale for the privately owned land there, and I believe that we're heading in the right direction with Great Streams Commons, and one of the objectives is to fill that place with businesses.
And she says developing continuity early with the fellow refreshment commissioner Jeff Reber and reelected Preston Boop is going to be key. Richard says she's gotten involved with commissioner duties already.
When I won the primary, I began to attend the weekly working sessions to try to understand really what it is that the county commissioners do, what they work with daily, and it's just more belief that really I can do this job, and I really look forward to doing this job.
You can hear the rest of her interview at WDKOK.com. And Joe is not a big fan of the Royals, but he'll be happy to hear this. Buckingham Palace says new outfits designed for Queen Elizabeth II will not use real fur. The palace.
I'm appalled.
They won't use real fur. You should be happy. The palace.
Well, I'm sure the furry animals are happy.
Right. The palace said Wednesday the decision does not mean the queen will dispose of the fur outfits she already has. The palace statement says the queen will continue to rewear existing outfits in her wardrobe. The decision pleased animal rights activists who have sometimes criticized the monarch for the fur pieces in her collection of designer clothes. Claire Bass, director of the Humane Society International UK, says, quote, "We're thrilled Her Majesty has officially gone fur-free," unquote. She says the Queen's decision will send a positive message that fur is no longer considered fashionable. We do have a call coming in, so call us now, 1-800-795-9565. It's that telephone number. And we had one person who took us up on the email opportunity.
Indeed they did.
There we go. Thank you.
We'll get it right. EB says, "I'm tired of this conservative idea that Trump, his administration, and his family can say or do horrible things, and we're all supposed to just be okay with it when they venture out in public. Melania repeated Trump's racist birther lie about Obama, and she's complicit with his inhumane, un-American actions. If she doesn't want to be protested, she should grow a pair. I say good for the hospital workers for standing up against this corrupt administration." Wow.
Well, Michelle Obama grew apples and pears and peaches, so, hey, she could get in the act, too.
She grew apples, pears, and peaches? What, is she farming now?
Well, when Michelle Obama had a garden on the White House lawn.
Well, all right.
Eric, you're on the mark.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. I want to change our topic a little bit this morning to something which is more local and a concern of mine living down here in a rural Snyder County, and that's the Sunday hunting proposal. I am very happy to see that the Senate is tabling discussion on that, and I am totally against Sunday hunting. I am a hunter. I do participate in, the Monday through Saturday. In fact, it was just about yesterday. But I know down here with our more conservative neighbors, especially our older amendment neighbors, who you are allowed to hunt on their property as long as you abide by their rules and, respect their, don't shoot close to their house and so forth. But I think those folks are going to post off their land, and there's going to be statewide less hunting opportunities by trying to appease to I don't know who with the Sunday hunting proposal.
Well, and I think you're going to get a lot of regular hunters who aren't going to hunt on Sunday, but the folks who will hunt hopefully will do so with permission and graciously on borrowed land or on public land, and will be in compliance. And some say that's the only day they can hunt. You know, Kevin Herr hunts, and he said that would apply to him. You know, he's super busy with his life and working here. He's like the assistant poobah in chief here, and he does sports play-by-play. So, but he does like to hunt in the fall, but he'd have to do it on Sunday. So for him, that's an ideal thing. I wouldn't hunt on a Sunday. nor do I think my lovely bride would say that I'm permitted to do so.
Well,
so.
You guys are both probably too young to remember this, although I don't know how old you are, Eric. But I can remember when Pennsylvania had blue laws banning Sunday sales. Huh?
Absolutely. I certainly remember those.
Do you remember
that? Okay. Was a business in Helens Grove. Yeah, we were never, you know, you weren't allowed to be open on Sunday.
Eric's. Or if you were allowed
and
to be open.
There's some of us who would say that's not a bad idea today. You know, a day of rest is probably good for everybody, right?
Well, if you were allowed to go into a store, I can remember going into a People's Drug Store where we lived at the time, and parts of the store were cordoned off. There were only certain things you were allowed to buy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, have we come beyond that now? I mean, almost everything is open 7 days a week except for Chick-fil-A.
And car dealers.
And car dealers, right. But you can browse their lots on Sunday.
Are liquor stores open on Sundays? I don't know. Are the liquor stores? I guess some of them are.
Some of them are. Yeah,
some are.
There are some.
Which I was against that, too, but that's a whole other story.
I mean,
I think we have to look at the one topic here, and the one interpretation of the word is public. People don't realize that so much of our public land in Pennsylvania is not game land. It is state forest lands. And I can tell you that even through hunting season, where I hunt up in Sullivan County, we have a lot of people who are choosing, if the weather's mild, to still hike. What about the rights of those hikers who should have the right to that public land to be unfettered and not to worry about bullets whizzing by them? Because they can do that on Sundays now. That takes their rights away, doesn't it?
But there are only three Sundays, as I understand it, that are permitted.
Well, that's the beginning.
Come on, guys. Let's face it. It's like the medical marijuana thing, too. Once they get their foot in the door, look out.
Or gambling. We're just going to have a little lottery at the stores. No, we'll just have a few casinos. Slots.
Now we have games of skill at the convenience stores.
Right. Yeah. Oh, we're just going to sell a little bit of liquor at the grocery store. Don't worry about that.
So what do we do? Roll it all back? I mean, you're always talking about giving people rights, Mark. We need to have more rights. Here's another right.
Well, but see, hunting is a privilege, and I think that if you count public land as being belonging to absolutely positively everybody, it makes perfect sense that you wouldn't be able to practice shooting sports on public land on Sunday.
Well, I agree with Eric. If the people don't want it, they can post their land, say, no Sunday.
Well, that's
here.
Private land, but a lot of land is public. You know, the vast majority of land in the great outdoors is public. So I think it makes perfect sense that, especially on hiking trails and state park, the areas contiguous to state parks, no hunting on Sunday is a wonderful thing. It means people can go out into the woods without wearing silly orange clothing if they don't want to, or they can ride bike. I think you have enough conflicts between hunters and other people using the outdoors. Everybody wants to get in the outdoors. Hunters can have Saturday and hikers can have Sunday. I think that's a good system.
Or if we want to truly have a compromise, I would say, okay, you can hunt on land which is being provided specifically for hunting, which are state game lands, which there's quite a bit of that. Do you want to say, hey, we're allowed to hunt on those lands? My point is, at least down here on Port Treverton, if you post off a lot of these other farms, then where you can hunt is going to be very limited. And especially during deer season, you do not want to be close to another hunter. You know, everyone kind of has a little spot. So.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you so much, Eric.
I think the commission, if they continue to push this, is going to, as the old Dutch phrase is, you know, cut off the nose to spite the face.
Well, I don't want to be anywhere near Mark when he's hunting. I mean, they don't call him Yosemite Sam for nothing.
Eric, you're about 43 years old.
Pardon me?
You're about 43 years old.
God bless you. I'm probably 56.
Okay. Trying to guess based on your attitude, so you're more mature than I thought. All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Eric. Call again. Take care.
1-800-795-9565. This is a bit of a update because the Game Commission came out with a news release this week saying that because of one aspect of the Sunday hunting law, that even if the state Senate would approve it, it wouldn't take effect this year, so it wouldn't have any impact this year, even though the legislature is, you know, still...
Why not?
Because there's a 90-day wait until the law takes effect. So maybe it would be in effect in Spring Gobbler, they said. But the Senate says they're in no hurry to act, so...
Spring Gobbler?
Turkey season.
Oh, okay.
Male turkeys only in the spring.
Oh,
shotgun,
all right.
12-gauge and up. So that's the status of that. But
okay.
It's not a good idea. No Sunday hunting. That's my view. Are you okay, buddy?
Yeah, I'm okay.
What?
Go ahead.
Good morning.
Bobby, go right ahead.
Yes, of course. I remember the blue laws also in that when I was growing up, and only certain places you could go on Sundays for gas and for prescription drugs or whatever. And then, of course, going over to the social club. And I mean, you know, I think it was a good idea at that point, you know, to do something like that, you know, to honor the day of rest type thing. But still, you know, it's something of how this state and how this and how our country was founded.
Well, yeah, it never bothered me that things were closed on Sunday, but I will admit that there are some times when we'll go to the grocery store. I go to Wise's on Sunday, or my lovely bride goes to Wise's on Sunday. I'm actually not allowed in the store.
Smart move on her part.
But anyway, yeah, I agree. Sunday laws didn't bother me at all. All right.
And also, as far as, like, hunting and that, like, you know, designated areas. I mean, there's certain designated areas for fishing, and you know, and as far as all your outdoor sports. So if it does come to law on a Sunday, and that it should be only designated areas. But you know, I agree with you, Mark, that you know, there should be no hunting on Sunday.
Well, but see, we already have areas designated for hunting, so that's. That's already happening. I mean, people either allow it on their lands or they don't. We have state game lands. That's a designated area. So we already, you know, hunting's pretty already segmented all over. I just don't think we need hunting, Sunday hunting. I don't think the deer population needs it. It's a wonderful tradition in the U.S. that families can spend some time together on Sunday. No Sunday hunting, says I. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Bobby.
All right, thank you.
Thanks for calling in. Last email before a quick break.
It says, good morning. I say no to Sunday hunting. If you can only hunt on Sundays, go to the grocery store and buy real meat. If the Game Commission gets one Sunday, it will become every Sunday.
Right. That's the truth. This is this slippery slope theory that the legislature, oh, it's just three Sundays. That's it. Forget it. You know, it's like the lottery. Now you can do gambling and poker and blackjack any day of the week, any place you want, and I mean, at casinos and that games.
Well, have they done a survey? I mean, I don't know how many people are interested in this. I don't hunt, so I don't really have a dog in this fight. But have they ever done a survey to determine just how serious, how many hunters cannot hunt any day of the week but Sunday? I mean, is this a big problem?
Yeah, there probably has been a survey to that effect. I think it's probably maybe 10 to 20% of the hunters say Sunday's my only day.
So you enjoy the privilege of hunting, and you can take time off to do it. But people who can't should be denied that because you don't want them to hunt on Sunday.
Well, if it were that simple, that's fine. But the fact of the matter
is that simple to me. I don't hunt.
Well, you're right. Yeah, you don't get involved in any of these discussions. You don't drink, so you could care less that you can buy liquor at the convenience store now.
I care about it because it's not liquor store, but the grocery stores. They don't have as many groceries now because there's so much wine and beer in the aisles.
Right. That's a big area. You don't participate in hunting, so what do you care? You don't participate in the shooting sports, so what do you care about gun control? And you don't...
I do care about gun control and preserving people's Second Amendment rights.
You don't buy your vehicles on Sunday, so what do you care that there's a silly vehicular purchase agreement?
I would if they were open.
Okay.
But I think Sunday works to the car dealer's advantage, not being open on Sunday, because people can browse the lots without having a salesman approach them.
Not really. I think it'd be a big retail day if it were permitted.
Not me.
I think they make the best of it.
I go looking on Sundays. I go looking for cars on Sundays.
Right. I think that's fine. But I think car dealers make the best of it by letting you rove the walks. And I believe they're allowed to hand you a business card or, you know,
well,
get
they're
some
not there on
content.
Sunday. I've never seen a dealer out on Sunday.
There's a couple car dealers that have someone there that will hand you a business card.
Oh, will they?
And then they walk away. You know, they say, okay, here's my card. I'll talk to you tomorrow kind of thing.
Oh.
Or maybe it's a card for someone else at the dealer. Or another car dealer.
I don't know. I've never seen anybody approach me.
If you're Sunday.
I've never had anybody approach me on a Sunday at a car dealership.
I wouldn't be surprised if Kai at the Kia dealership would give you a car.
Kai's retired.
Right. He'll give you his old cards on Sunday. All right, 1-800-795-9565. Call us now. We have one email related to Sunday hunting and blue.
Which I just read.
Oh, did you? Okay. 1-800. We have no emails.
You're in trouble following this program today, aren't you?
Welcome to Wednesday, everybody. It's Thursday.
Thursday, yes. Right. I know that.
We'll be right back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Yes, welcome back. 1-800-795-9565. Call waiting, one coming in. One email in basket empty, so we'll take emails sent to onthemark@wkok.com. And you can text us at 70236. That's the Text Connect system. What that does is allow you to reply to texts that we send you, and the way that you get involved in that is you sign up for WKOK Text Connect. We get nothing from it other than the satisfaction of keeping you informed. We don't sell the
you
list.
You could get several peanut butter pies.
I know, you keep saying that. Well, and every so often I get hungry before lunch, and I'm like, boy, I'll tell you what,
there's the offer. It's on the table.
Three peanut butter pies if I disclose to Joe, for commercial purposes, the Text Connect list. But I won't do it, and we don't either. You don't get a commercial message. It's just our way of keeping in touch with you, and you can sign up at WKOK.com. It's in the Connect with Us category. We have talked about Melania Trump enjoying some protesters in Boston when she was there to talk about a cuddly story. We have talked about the impeachment. We talked about Sunday hunting. Our next caller is on the line. Good morning, Rick. What's on your mind today? Good morning.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if it can be proved that the whistleblower went to Adam Schiff first and he helped him make out the paperwork and then gave it to the IG. Doesn't this blow up this whole investigation?
Well, certainly makes it look suspect.
Well,
makes it look suspect, that's for sure.
Right, it makes it look suspect, but what if the accusation is correct? And, you know, it makes the process flawed.
Well, that's what I say. We have to get through with this kangaroo court and get it over to the Senate, and then the first witness is going to be Adam Schiff. So I just want to get this over with, get the vote, get it over to the Senate. And Adam Schiff's going to be Donald Trump's first witness. He's going to be under oath. That'll be fun. That's what I said before. This is a really fun thing to do.
Do you think the president should test?
If that is true, then this whole investigation was a big hoax. It's a part of the coup, right?
Do you think the president should testify?
Do I think he should testify? No, I want Adam Schiff to testify first.
Okay.
To see if the whistleblower talk to him before he put in his paperwork to the IG. That's not the line. That's not the way this goes. You go to the whistleblower, goes to the IG, and then the IG gives it to Schiff. So if he can be put under oath in the trial in the Senate, because there's not even going to be any question on this thing coming up. It's only testimony. So this is going to be fun. I can't wait for it to play out.
All right, okay. We got you, Rick. Thank you
and
so much.
And just say that they're giving you a good idea. There is proof that the whistleblower went to Adam Schiff first.
There is proof?
Well, you guys have a good day.
Where's this proof? I'd like to, you know, where have you seen that report?
You're going to hear it when it comes to the Senate.
Okay.
And Mr. Schiff is put under oath.
All right.
That's when you'll hear it.
Okay.
Super. So you
all
think?
Right.
Thanks
have
a lot.
A good day.
Yeah, take care, Rick.
Thank
appreciate
you.
Your call. Paul, you're on the mark.
No, text.
No, Paul's not on the mark. Okay. What's with the Congress, both houses, passing an animal cruelty law? I don't suppose being cruel to animals. I don't support being cruel to animals. But who's to decide what's cruel? And what if the people administering this law decide hunting is cruel? Then what? This is just another unconstitutional act by the government taking more power that they don't have. This is a state and local issue only.
Yeah, what if they decide that fishing is cruel?
Well, I mean, there's still that story up in Union County about that.
That has nothing to do with this. And unrelated.
Well, it has to do with animal cruelty or alleged animal cruelty.
All right. The what about King has spoken. Paul, you're on the mark.
Well, you guys are talking about ridiculous laws. How about giving the animals a law that if they want to commit suicide, they have to pick out either a Chevy, a Cadillac, a Chrysler, and if they're killed by any other car, arrest the driver.
Joe, you take this one.
I don't know where to begin. There's certainly an idea, Paul. We're going to pass that on to Linda Culver and, you know, ask her to put that up there. We'll get Kurt Mosser on it and probably get our new representative on it as well. So
it's the other kind of brand of power. Deer choose which species of vehicle they jump in front of.
Actually, I think they only ought to jump in front of larger vehicles so that there's less chance the driver will be hurt.
Okay, well, that makes sense.
Pick up anything above an F-150 or higher.
And they're dispatched faster, so
right.
you don't want to see any animals suffer.
Okay. I think that's a good idea.
Well, okay, Paul.
Numbers are out is that there is 900 billion people estimated on the faces of the earth. So how much time do the animals have in order to outlive the humans?
38 seconds. That's my guess. Okay.
That all depends on how fast the animal can run across the road without getting hit.
Okay, Paul, we got you. Right, food for thought. All right, thank you so much, sir. Appreciate the call. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We're talking about deer hunting.
Yeah, well, actually, Paul just said there were some, how many billions of people did he say there were?
In the world?
Yeah, he said several hundred billion, and there are only 7.53 billion.
Right, there aren't that many billion people in the world. There's quite a few. But, yeah, what's 6 or 7 billion?
7.53 billion people on Earth. And none of them are jumping out in front of deer, I don't think.
Hmm.
So there we go. Let's have a law that says deer can only
Well, there must
jump
be somebody. Just law of averages, you got 7 billion people. Somebody's jumping out in front of a deer somewhere.
Okay, if you say so.
I'm going to do it Saturday morning with the bow and arrow. If the deer starts to run away, I'm going to jump in front of him.
Well, you've been shooting a deer for quite a few years.
No, I've been hunting for a long
time. But you haven't
done any shooting. It's mostly hunting and relaxing.
Good luck. I, you know, go back to the Sunday hunting thing. Really, if people don't have a chance, if they really enjoy the sport and it's the only opportunity they have, I don't see any problem with giving them a couple of days. Well known, well advertised in advance. The problem I see is if it does, in effect, just turn out to be getting their nose in the door and then they say every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
There, I think that I would agree with our earlier caller who said that people who want to hike and camp, and they have that right to do it.
What about a free hunting Sunday? You know, you have free fishing days. Those are usually on holidays where you don't need a license to fish.
I don't think you want to turn all those people loose with guns out in the woods on one day.
Well, who would do it? I mean, I can see why. Who makes whether or not they have a license the decider as to whether they hunt or not?
Well, I think that's the only way you can control it. I don't think you want everybody who owns some sort of a firearm out in the woods on a free hunting day.
Well, you can't control it with licensing.
Yes,
that's,
you can.
That's just a factor in the regulation, but it
that's
doesn't...
That's why we have the game wardens to make sure that they follow the rules.
Right. Well, that's where their salary comes from. But, they, you know, there's people that hunt on private land privately on their own with... You know, that may
so
not
if I owned a large piece of land and I could hunt on it on my own on a Sunday if I wanted to?
Oh, I know people who do that. Or, I know of people who have done that where they'll go out, you know, because you're on your own land. It's, you know, hundreds of acres. You're in the middle of nowhere. It's
and
in the
deer
woods.
Are on my property so I can plug them?
Well, I think they just say, well, there's no one to catch you hunting on your own. I don't know if they describe
so
the deer.
So the game warden would be trespassing if he came on my property.
Well, yeah, but he's permitted to do so, or he or she's permitted to do so if he thinks there's been violations of the state game laws.
Sounds like the Gestapo to me.
It is. That's a funny thing. You would pick up on that. You're not even allowed. You, like you, Joe, you don't hunt. You certainly don't own any firearms.
Well, nothing out there is something I want to eat.
But if you come up here at midnight at certain times of the year and shine a flashlight into a field to see a deer, that's illegal.
I know spotlighting is, yes.
That's ridiculous. I mean, honestly, they say that's overreach. That's Gestapo is not the right word.
Those of us who don't hunt sometimes feel intimidated by those who do. I can remember my office. You know where my office was here in this building. I can remember during hunting season looking out and seeing people walking past my office with guns.
Okay. Well, there's deer up here.
Well, yeah, I know there are.
And they become pretty scarce in 2 short weeks. All right, 1-800.
I was always worried about somebody shooting one of our towers or...
Well, yeah, that's a valid concern. Yeah, I would watch out for that. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Let's take a quick break to stay on schedule. Dale, you're going to be on the mark shortly. Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show, On the Mark. Phones are open, 1-800-795-9565. Email InBasket is open. You can email us at onthemarket@wkok.com. Text Basket is open. We've talked a little bit about the impeachment today. We talked about Sunday hunting and blue laws. And we talked about, very appropriately, protesters showing up when Melania Trump was in Boston. Dale, we are at a pivot point in the show. What should we be talking about?
No, I just wanted to say, you know, last week I heard something mentioned about there was an independent autopsy on that Epstein. I really take it, that case really seriously because, you know, child trafficking and all like that. I think that's the most heinous crime there possibly could be. And if there was an independent autopsy and said this guy was murdered, I think there should be an inquiry at Congress about this. But it seems like there's one power controlling all Congress. I can't believe not one congressperson step up and say, you know, there's an independent saying this guy was murdered and we want to get to the bottom of this. So, I mean, the story was brief, but I'm just wondering if that was fake news or not, because I'm sure that one congressperson would speak up, you know, and, you know, it just shows the integrity of our Congress, where it seems like one person has control of everyone's thoughts and voices. I mean, I thought Congress, you know, had a little bit of integrity and credibility, but I don't know if the story's true or not. Then they say, you know, George Stephanopoulos has buried the story. There's people wanting to get this story out. I don't know if it's fake or. Do you think that
I saw that too, Dale. I saw the story. Matter of fact, mentioned it yesterday. And supposedly ABC News has said, well, it didn't meet our standards, but we're still investigating it.
Yeah, I don't think, I mean, it's not a laughing matter because children are very, very precious. I mean, I think everyone understands that.
Well, and the reporter
and
said
I
she had the goods.
Congress to play games like that. It's not even.
The ABC reporter, Dale, who did the story, said that they pegged it, and she thought it was because of George Stephanopoulos and his ties to the Clintons. So.
Yeah, well, Clinton, we understand that. Clinton had $6 billion in the bank from the Haiti, Haiti hurricane, never gave them money. So he said that he went through half of that money already. I guess it's stored in overseas accounts. So we need to try to get that other half spent so this guy can come to justice.
Well, I'm not certain. I know that that's a fact, but...
Don't go there.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand how one person could be that powerful. I really don't. Like, if someone went into a top security prison to kill someone with security guards, I don't think our government's that evil. I don't want to believe that. But okay. It seems like there is. I mean, who would cover up someone who, you know, is... I think it's going to keep happening with our big leaders. They're going to be child trafficking. I think that's... So, you know, some people do drugs and drinking. But I think our leaders are child traffickers. I'm starting to really believe that. It's a shame that that story won't come to light. Congress won't speak up. Not one person in Congress. It's pretty lame. Oh. That's all I got to say.
Okay.
Hey. Yeah, that's a serious issue.
Child abuse is certainly a serious issue. I don't know that our congressmen are delving into that in terms of committing it, but, you know.
1-800-795-9565. Joe, text start
yes,
here.
I know where it goes, Mark. Well, I've pre-read it. It says, Joe, if you are a large landowner making a living from the land, you can hunt without a license. That would be farmers. That's how it was in the past, and to my knowledge, that hasn't changed. The farmers feed the deer. They should be able to eat the deer without seeking permission from the state. After all, the state won't pay the farmer for crop damage caused by the state's deer. That seems fair, doesn't it?
Right.
Let the farmers eat the deer.
I think you have to. Maybe you're supposed to seek permission, you know, to explain that it's crop damage. You're worried about that. But deer eat a ton of corn. Like, they chew up the whole periphery of all the cornfields that you see around here. They don't go deep into the corn typically, but they always start on the outside, and you always see the first two or three rows are all eaten up.
Well, maybe on the outside they ought to plant a different kind of corn that makes the deer sick.
Okay. Well,
that would certainly get PETA's day under up.
I don't think they've thought of that.
Well, I'm here to help in any way I can.
Yeah, you are.
Hey, now here's another story. This I'd be interested in hearing how you're going to come down on this. A federal judge on Wednesday struck down a new Trump administration rule that could open the way for more health care workers to refuse to participate in abortions or other procedures on moral or religious grounds. U.S. District Judge Paul A. Engelmeyer said the U.S. Health and Human Services Department overstepped its authority and went beyond existing law in issuing the rule. He also said that the measure could be costly, burdensome, and damaging to emergency care, and that the whole rationale for the rule was based on a lie. He said the department's claim that there was a significant increase in complaints about workers being forced to violate their conscience was flatly untrue. The HHS rule, he said, is a classic solution in search of a problem. An HHS spokesman had no comment. 19 states, the District of Columbia, 3 local governments, health organizations, and others had sued to block the rule from taking effect November 22nd, arguing that it would be discriminatory and would interfere with people's access to health care. Rosie Philip Davis, the president of the American Psychological Association, said the rule could have jeopardized the health of some of our most vulnerable populations, including women, LGBTQ people, and people with HIV or AIDS. But Senator Ben Sasse, a Nebraska Republican, called the ruling absurd mush and urged the Trump administration to appeal. So what do you think? Oh, that's what it would have done, by the way. It would have enabled people who counsel, refer, train, or make arrangements for a medical procedure to opt out of it based on their religious or moral beliefs.
And if they are employed at what?
Well, if they're involved in any part of the process that would lead to something they find morally offensive.
Well,
this is not the same as not baking a cake for a gay wedding. Mm-hmm. This is saying that, all right, I work for a place that performs procedures that terminate.
Does government money have to be involved? I mean, if you go to a private doctor, they're going to do a private procedure.
Well, it says it also restricts the ability of employers to inquire about employees' objections and broadens the definition of health care entities to include pharmacies and medical laboratories, if that answers part of your question.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So,
well, I think this is a Trump administration overreach. If people are going to work in these agencies and these dollars are going to flow through, then they should stand out of the way.
But you
people should do their job.
Argue in favor of not baking a cake for a gay wedding if you believe that. That's wrong.
Did I?
Yes, you did. You're flip-flopping here. You're such a flip-flopper.
Oh,
you're,
come on. Stop.
The
stop
contortions
it,
you're going through are making me dizzy.
Well, there's no equivalence here. One is a private individual dealing with private people and who have private ideals, and artists' values are different than a clerk at a facility, a medical facility, who says, well, abortion is bad, so I'm sorry, I'm not going to check you in. You know, if you get a guy
no,
that does
they
that.
They couldn't do that. They just would not be required to take their information. Somebody else would have to do it.
Oh, right. So what's the difference?
Well, the difference is that they could be penalized for that with no law, and they could be fired for refusing to do it when their religious beliefs dictate to them that it's wrong.
So this is an expansion, because for centuries people have been able to say that they religiously object to certain procedures and won't.
We even let people out of military service in time of war if their religious objections are strong enough.
All right. So, but this is an expansion, so more individuals can now do this, or had hoped
that
to do it.
That would have been, yes.
Right,
that would have been. And he's saying that there's a lie. Apparently, the administration said that the there have been an increase in complaints about workers being forced to violate their conscience. And he said that was flatly untrue. Well, how does he know that?
Well, how does the president know about it?
Well, I don't know, but that's a good question. But, I mean, if they – I think he knows about it because he's claiming the government has received information about it.
All right, 1-800-795-9565. One of our listeners sends a note on this topic.
Says, I think the abortion ruling by that judge is stupid. Abortion is not health care.
All right, 1-800-795-9565. Quickie break. We got one call waiting and one coming in. We got one email pending. We will be right back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. Okay, now they're stacking up. We start out with a caller, Fred. It is in Open Phones Thursday. The topic of your selection would be what?
Yeah, fellas, I'd just like to say that I think Susquehanna really bailed out and showed no backbone changing their great name, Crusaders. Whether it was political pressure or whatever, I just thought it was a great name and should have kept it.
Yeah, I think a lot of people felt that way.
Hmm? Holy Cross has held on to their name, Crusaders.
Yeah,
I think what is offensive about Crusaders?
I think because they were ultra-violent, deadly marauders back in the day.
They were not ultra-violent marauders. They were trying to protect the Holy Land for Christian pilgrims.
What were the real Crusaders, Fred?
I think they should be proud of that name, Crusaders. Holy Cross held on to their name.
Right.
You know?
What are they now? What's the nickname?
Riverhawks.
Oh, that's
Riverhawks.
Right.
That's so weak. You know? Why not just say Hawks? Susquehanna Hawks.
Ooh, I like that. That's a good... I like that, too. All right, Fred, we got
you. I got one other point, if I can.
Sure, it's open phones.
I think the Clintons' middle name should be Corruption. That's about all I have.
All right. Gotcha.
Thank you.
Call again.
1-800-795-9565 is the number for the open line. Dick, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, I was thinking about this the other day. And, when they wrote the Constitution, the lifespan for people was not like it is today. And I think if they had this to do over, they might have put an age limit on when somebody could run for president. I just went through every president right up to from George Washington till today to Trump. And very few presidents even lived into their 70s, let alone ran for office in their 70s. And I realize that the lifespan's a lot longer now than it was back then. But, there's a lot of things that happen now to people. A lot of people get dementia, Alzheimer's, even undiagnosed diseases like that. And I just think if they had it to do over again, I think that when you're 70 years old, that should be the limit to run for president. We don't need 80-year-old people, 78. This is nothing against Trump or Biden. I just think that there should be an age limit. That's how I feel about it. We don't need 85-year-old presidents. And I went through, I went through about 12 or 13 in a row that didn't even live to be 70. That's kind of my point.
Yeah, but that was a long time ago.
I told you, it'll never agree with anything I say. But my point being is, I just don't think we need. It's kind of like football coaches. I always say, if I could go to a dentist or a doctor, I don't need a 75 or 80 year old doctor. I don't care their expertise, especially a dentist. I know some guy went in my mouth when he's 80 with a drill when he's 75 or 85 years old, as opposed to a 45 or 50 year old guy right out of dental school.
Okay,
been practicing. That's my point.
I agree with you on that. I do agree with you on
that's
that.
That's my point. Joe, people get people reach a point where they're, you might think they're smart like you are. They aren't. My point being is, it's just my opinion. I just think that 70 years after that, you shouldn't be able to run for president. That's my only point. You don't have to agree with me. I don't care if everybody in the world disagrees with me. But if you look at older people, how many of them would you want to be president?
Well, I think it depends on the person.
Right. You could pick one person out of a million. But by and large, the majority of people, when they're over 70, don't have the faculties to be president of the United States. Jeez. That's my point.
But don't you think that would become evident to the people if they were campaigning and they were making serious gaffes and getting facts wrong?
Doesn't seem to hurt Joe Biden.
They make gaffes now and nobody cares.
Right. Well, I care. I do. I don't like some of the things.
You don't care that much if Trump makes a gaffe. You might care if Biden makes one.
Oh, I do care if Trump makes a gaffe. I care very much.
I told your call screen, you're never going to agree with me on anything. I really don't care about that.
I just agree with you a second.
I just think that 70 should be the age limit. I don't care if anybody agrees with that. I just think that way it should be.
I just agree
with you, by the way.
Dick, I just agree with you a minute ago. I don't want an 85-year-old guy poking around in my mouth.
Yeah, but I'm talking about running the country, being in charge of nuclear weapons.
Well, you said I never agree with you.
You
say I never agree with you. I agreed with you. I don't want that.
I think you guys are in full agreement.
We have 75, 80-year-old people going to be in charge of nuclear weapons now. That's my point.
All right, we got you. Thank you so much, Dick. Appreciate
it. My point was I don't care if they're handling nuclear weapons. I don't want them in my mouth.
I'm only kidding. You don't want any nuclear weapons in your mouth?
Listen, I the government has age discrimination policies, I guess, for a reason. But I think it depends on the person. I mean, if you have a judgment that someone is incapable of performing the job you're hiring them for, it doesn't matter what age they are, you can reject them. But there are many people who are older who can make significant contributions, and to automatically rule them out based on an age seems to me like we're cutting off our nose to spite our face.
How old was President Reagan?
He was in his late 60s, wasn't he, when he was elected?
Okay, so 70s when he was done, somewhere in his 70s.
And you could claim he had some mental gaffes from time to time. You could claim Joe Biden does. You could claim Donald Trump does.
Well, I think people said President Reagan had some cognitive issues.
I thought maybe he was going to go the other direction, when he started that age thing. About 35 is too young to be president. Isn't it Pete Buttigieg, who's 37? He's barely old enough to run for president. Should we say, okay, since people live longer, that you can only run for president when you're 40 years old or older, but you can't run if you're over 80?
How about anybody can run for president at any age period? As soon as, if the country wants you to be president, it should be allowed.
Well, now, of course, Nancy Pelosi, or who is it who's advocating? Is it Pelosi who's advocating 16-year-olds vote, or is that Elizabeth Warren? I think it's Elizabeth Warren.
I don't know. I'm sure it's a misstatement.
No, it's not. It's not a misstatement. One of the Democratic candidates has said that 16-year-olds should be allowed to vote.
Okay.
Do you think that should happen?
No. Should there be a test before they can, to make sure they're informed on the issues? Of course, we don't do that.
Well, now you're saying some 16-year-olds can vote and some can't. That's my argument about people who are of age, whether or not they can serve as president of the United States.
We got a good email.
It says, good morning. 1.8 million veterans rely on Medicaid. But instead of protecting veterans and ensuring affordable health care stays within reach, Humpty Trumpty had proposed to slash Medicaid by $1.5 trillion. Monday is Veterans Day. Thanks to all that serve the USA. Signed, Bob.
All right. Appreciate that.
So, getting back to age.
I don't know. We know so many people who are above 70 that are so sharp. I'd hate to discriminate against them. You're what, 70?
76.
Six? Yeah. You're, up until lately, you were really super.
Well, I have the whole weekend to recover and perhaps do better next week.
On that note.
Right.
I'm 60. I'm falling apart. So what does that tell you? All right. Thank you, Joe.
We're two old white dudes doing this program, as they say.
Tomorrow, Ben Reichle will be here. Jordy Comos is going to join us for a good argument at the beginning of the show. He's a good Democratic activist and borough council member in Lewisburg. Joe will be back on Monday. Rob will be here tomorrow. This is WDKOK Sunbury.